guess I'm just a curmudgeon, but I think Theodora's point is well taken, that the perspective from the streets is you're going to see more of the, you know, they grab the dope from the folks who are on the street, the marijuana, the herb. And it's also, you know, I mean, heck, I saw them grabbing people's property today down at Hippie Planter. I mean, for no good reason, no crime. It was just, it's not attended. It's not, you know, it's been sitting there too long. I helped one woman get her property back because we happened to be at the police station picking up this tape, which I'm going to play for you shortly, which Butchie Baker confiscated from me a week ago in his famous dramatic attempt to stop a crime wave in front of Hippie Planter, where I was sitting at a table registering people to vote and getting people to sign a pledge not to spend money at New Leaf Market, Sushi Now, and Alibaba's Cafe. And so, actually, that perhaps I should begin to turn back to that. And Scott here has a hard-on against the poor Del Mar Theater. You want to tell us what your problem is with the Del Mar Theater there, Scott?
Well, for years, Alibaba, New Leaf Market, and more recently Sushi Now, because they just opened a year ago, have been complaining about the hippies hanging out there ever since they chased them off the corner of Cathcart and Pacific. And no one has been listening to these people. All of their complaints fell on deaf ears. And suddenly, the people in Barry Swinson and George Au and the Nickelodeon people are ready to open up the Del Mar Theater, and all of a sudden we get action taken against these people. Now, to me, that seems kind of suspicious that, you know, for years there's been complaints about this gathering, and it wasn't until these two big money developers plus Nickelodeon are ready to go into the Del Mar that action actually took place.
Well, you could well be right there, Scott. My deep throat sources inside the Downtown Association tell me that was not discussed at the Downtown Association Social and Legislative Committee meetings per se explicitly. That is to say, you didn't have George Au and Barry Swinson running in and saying, get rid of these trashy kids so we could get some upscale patrons. That doesn't mean that it wasn't a motivation. I would like you to continue this conversation briefly while I make a nature visit with Charlie. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is Barry Swinson and George Au aren't going to go to some committee meeting of the Downtown Association to try to get this done. They're going to go right to Seal Cirilla at Redevelopment and say, Seal, you have to do this or we're going to pull out of this whole damn thing.
And beyond that, I'm sure that they all have made contributions to various, whether it be at the city level, and though this isn't county, but I'm sure up there as well, I'm sure they make phone calls to the proper city council members, you know, directly, not through some meeting as you're suggesting, but just, you know, on the back line that they've, I'm sure, purchased access to.
Right, and so, I mean, I really think that this is what's behind this whole movement. They're using Sushi Now and Alibaba as the straw men in this argument, but in reality, it's Swinson and Au and the Nickelodeon who are really pushing, because they have this new parking structure on the corner of Front and Soquel. And so a lot of people that are going to be going to these movies are going to be parking in that parking structure, and they would have to walk past Hippie Planter. And at nighttime, that's when people are going to be more frightened than any other time of day to walk past these people. And so if they're not there, if they're over in front of Borders, that's not going to be a direct line. And, you know, and I'm sure that if these kids move in front of Borders and Borders starts complaining, the city will ignore Borders because the city didn't want Borders there in the first place.
You might have an idea there. Maybe this is what we're going to hear at the next city council meeting, is a proposal to have the corner of Borders be the new hangout spot.
Well, at the meeting when they first discussed that, I put that out there. I said, well, you know, where are these kids going to go? Are they going to go right out in front of Borders? And a number of the council members actually smiled when I said that.
They liked that idea. A little additional Borders protest, backing up of a little more political backing of the Bookshop Santa Cruz there, another organization I know that this community has backed, though I myself like Bookshop Santa Cruz. I think they've probably inappropriately sponsored it through times of economic crisis. Kind of like what I guess they're doing right now with the Del Mar Theater.
Right. But anyway, to get back to Proposition 36, one of the things that I was hoping that may happen, you know, through the implementation of Proposition 36, or actually a couple of things. One would be that there would be treatment on demand, that you wouldn't have to go get busted in order to get treatment. But if you came to a point in your life and said, I want to change my life, I want to stop using drugs or alcohol or whatever, the treatment would be available to you. Because it's been proven time and time again that if somebody wants treatment, there's a much higher success rate than people that are thrust into treatment. The other thing that I was hoping that Prop 36 might do, or that, you know, it might bring about, at least here in this county, would be that if somebody was with someone, if a number of people were using drugs together and somebody OD'd, that they could call the police, call an ambulance, and have that person helped without facing arrest themselves. There was a recent case a few weeks ago where a woman was found dead down on Ocean Street Extension. Someone had dumped her body off there. Obviously, she had OD'd somewhere else. The people who were with her when she OD'd were afraid to call an ambulance. She might have been alive at some point. And if an ambulance had gotten there, she might have survived. But since people that call in an OD are subject to arrest, it doesn't happen.
I couldn't agree with you more, Scott. As to your first point, the most effective way of treatment, cost-effective otherwise, because obviously what we're doing with Proposition 36 is essentially forcing people into treatment, because I do think when you give someone a choice between jail and treatment, you're forcing them into that treatment, you're going to have a high failure rate. And, you know, though, as the LA Times articles point out, there's about a 60%, I don't want to say success rate, but continuation rate in treatment down in many of the Southern California counties. I think it's about the same here. It'd be much higher if it was a purely voluntary basis. And instead of doing it through the criminal justice system, have it set up here in our county health centers up off Emmeline Street. Maybe have the administration up there be somewhere where, like you're saying, you've hit that point where you're saying, I can't do it anymore. You walk in, you sign up and say, hey, I need to talk to a counselor because I've been doing too much methamphetamine after I drink a 12-pack of beer, whatever your particular substance combo is, and they start working with you. I think that would be the ideal way. It would be kind of along the lines of what we were talking about earlier. I think what we'd have to do is decriminalize drugs first, which would be a tremendous step forward.
You know, a lot of the decriminalization happens because people initially just start doing it, whether it's needle exchange or medical marijuana clubs or tent cities like Camp Paradise. It just happens because it's an essential and a need. What's the next step in getting some sanity in the drug policies? Any suggestions, guys? We're talking with Charlie Stevens and Scott Graham here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, I mean, as a practical matter, I'd love to say let's just straight across the board decriminalize everything. That's not going to happen. But what might be a next step that actually could be a productive or something that could actually happen and might be productive within the next decade or so would be taking a step down. Right now, a lot of these cases or type of charges, I should say, are felonies. Possession of heroin, possession of methamphetamine. And if we change them from felonies to misdemeanors, I think it'd be a step in the right direction. And then another 10 years down the road, maybe the public would be ready to completely decriminalize these same type of charges. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, Scott.
Hang on. We've got a caller here, folks. Free Radio welcomes you.
Hello. I've been listening to your show, and I think it's interesting. I just wanted to bring up something about what I think about the drug war that I haven't heard discussed too much and just thought I'd bring it up. Is one of the reasons that people are criminalized for drugs is because people have lost the ability to self-medicate themselves. I mean, if a physician in this country does not write a prescription for whatever drug you're taking, it is illegal to take that, even if it makes you, you know, deal with life better. Mm-hmm. And the self-medication issue didn't become an issue until earlier in this century, around
Harrison Act.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just wondering if, you know, I know the medical marijuana people have made some inroads with the issue of medicine, and but it's, you know, you have to prove that you're ready to die in order to, you know, take it, or not that you're ready to die, but maybe that if you don't take it, the worst case scenario will mm-hmm. occur, epilepsy.
Right.
So yeah, I'm just wondering how we get to the next level where it's like, wait a minute, I know what's good for me, and as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I should be able to do it. And that would be taking away power from the doctors, and I just wanted to get the impression of those of your guests.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any thoughts, guys? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is something that has happened over the years, is that, you know, the whole pharmaceutical industry, I mean, even with medical marijuana, the pharmaceutical industry is beating itself on the head right now, trying to come up with a substitute for actually smoking marijuana, because they can have Marinol pills, all these other things, but they don't have the same effect as smoking it. If you take a Marinol pill, it's not going to stop you from having an upset stomach if you're a cancer patient, whereas taking a couple tokes will. There's a whole list of different things that happen with people when they smoke marijuana, that ailments that it alleviates. It doesn't necessarily cure them, but it alleviates pain or some of the side effects of other drugs, which these synthetic pharmaceutical companies haven't been able to make something that will do that. And, you know, it's the same way with painkillers. You can go to the, I mean, look at Elvis Presley. He had prescription medication. He had uppers, downers, and everything in betweeners. And he actually died from prescription medicine from a doctor. I mean, why that doctor was never sued by his family, I don't know. But, you know, it's just, it's a ridiculous situation.
Question you haven't given your answer, Charlie, is, what do we do here in Santa Cruz to deal with this? What the caller is saying is the criminalization of self-medication, the criminalization of, recreational drug use. I mean, why do you have to be medicating yourself, for God's sake? I mean, you know, I suppose it's because you have to justify what you're doing to the police officer down the block.
Well, I think here on a local level, the thing to do is to let the local police, Chiefs of Police, Mark Tracy, Sheriff Department, County Board of Supervisors, the local city council members, know what a waste of taxpayers' money, resources you think it is to be prosecuting this stuff. And that's the most effective way I can think locally. In the larger sense, I advocate, you know, getting behind propositions like Proposition 36 at the statewide level, but locally, I think you just, the way to do it is say, hey, this is a waste of money. You know, each of these cases takes money. If you write a citation, if you arrest someone, book them into jail, you're taking the officer away from doing something more productive, like chasing down someone who's potentially going to be raping people, someone out there with a gun, someone doing violent crimes is really doing damage to our community.
And it's also particularly true for people who are poor, people who are young, people who have a skin color different than mine, people who are counterculture and lifestyle, because these are the folks that get profiled by the police. And when they get profiled, they're likely to get searched and ID'd. And of course, if they have any medications or recreational drugs on them, they are likely to suffer as a consequence, even though what they're doing doesn't hurt anyone other than themselves in the great majority of cases. Now, you know, we'll hear that there are arguments about minors being subjected to drugs, date rape kind of drugs, but these are drugs when you're involved in an additional crime. No, you shouldn't drink and drive. Probably shouldn't smoke marijuana and drive, to any great extent. But these are other things, and they don't have to do with the basic machine that is grinding people up today, tomorrow, and throughout the weekend, which is the drug war that goes on and on. And no matter that there have been some strides, as one of the callers has pointed out, I think at the basic level, there are more people being busted for marijuana than there were 10 years ago. I'm sorry, Theodora, that nationwide, the number has gone up. It hasn't gone down. And I don't think we're an island of sanity in a sea of insanity, unfortunately, although I'm glad to see that the Western states are trying to engage in medical marijuana. I don't see you know, massive support for the drug clubs are getting shut down in San Francisco, Oakland, and in Los Angeles. I'm thinking actually of Los Angeles. So I'm perhaps the perennial Cassandra here in the studio, you know, naysaying and woe is me. And frankly, I'm going to keep doing that as long as I see that that's what the picture is in front of my eyes. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and in the studio with me is public defender Charlie Stevens, public man about town, Scott Graham, and we also have the Cheshire Kid hiding in the back there. Actually, we've kept him away from the mic. We don't know what he's going to say, and that's we're going to have him on shortly to talk with us, actually around the issue that I've been doing a lot of work on, which is the issue of public spaces and how the police treat people downtown, and how things look from the point of view of the streets. And in order to do that, I'm going to kind of jump back to, and I'm inviting my other guests to stay or go. And I think it looks like Charlie's got to get back to his family. I don't know why, for heaven's sake. This is a much more interesting situation.
Well, you're doing so much talking.
I just want to say thank you for inviting me on here, Robert. I've enjoyed both my telephone conversation and today's live studio one as well.
Hey, we've enjoyed having you. I have, and I want to try to grab you again because, again, we've only scratched the surface, as they say, of these issues. And, hey, if you want to leave a message out there for Charlie, if you have any thoughts on what he said or want to get something to him, of course, you can contact him at the Public Defender's Office. I don't know if that's the right thing to say from a radio broadcast. Maybe that's
perfectly okay. Number there, if you want to get a hold of me, Charlie Stevens, 429-1311. More than happy to get any feedback.
Great. Thank you, Charlie, for being with us. And, hey, come again. Scott, you're going to hang tough with us for a while?
Just for a few more minutes, but that last caller interrupted my thought on the drug war.
All right, well, you better speak up then.
I think, you know, what has to happen, not only here locally but nationally, is we have to get our police, our judges, our lawyers, and our secret government agencies off of drugs. They are all just as addicted as any junkie. The criminal justice system is addicted to the drug war. Their whole operate. If all of a sudden they weren't busting people for drugs, they would lose so many jobs in the criminal justice system. It would be unbelievable. It'd be like the biggest layoff in America. We have to get these people off drugs. They are addicted. It's their lifeblood now. We have to give them something else to do. See, the whole drug war started when Prohibition ended. We had all these federal agents and state agents that were going around busting little ma and pa operations that were making bathtub gin. They didn't bother the mafia, but they were going after all these little operations, and once the Prohibition ended, they had to give them something to do. So they started making drugs illegal. Since that time, the late 30s, 1937 to be exact, they actually have, this thing has snowballed to become one of the biggest industries in America. The whole criminal justice system element behind prosecution, incarceration, and arresting people for drugs is a multi-billion dollar industry in this country.
What do we do in Santa Cruz, Scott, to stop?
Well, that's we got to do the same thing here in Santa Cruz that we do nationwide. We have to get these people off drugs. We have to give them something else to do. There are, like, I used to live in the Beach Flats. The police routinely, almost nightly, were busting users. They very seldom, if ever, bust the dealers. Because if they bust the dealers, what's going to happen? They're going to run out of people to arrest. As long as they leave the dealers there, there's a never-ending flow of users coming through, especially in the summertime.
Cynical view of our police department, Scott, I must say.
That happens all over the place. I mean, the same thing was happening when Camp Paradise was going. Across the river from Camp Paradise, a bunch of drug dealers set up shop there. They'd been there for years. They were known by the police to be there. The police never went down and actually busted the dealers. They continually busted the users. They would set up on Highway 9 and get people as they were coming out of there, because they let them go in, They knew they were going to buy drugs. They get them on their way out because either they had already consumed it and they were high, they could bust them for being under the influence, or they had it in their pockets and they could bust them for possession. But they didn't bust the dealers.
So what do you suggest listeners do to stop this crime wave in the police department?
Well, what they have to do is they have to write letters, make phone calls, and tell the elected officials along with the appointed officials that, hey, it's high time we, you know, have our police do things that are real. You know, I mean, one of the problems that the police have is that you can't really anticipate crime. They can't say, oh, there's going to be a murder at 12:30 around the corner over here. That's not something they can anticipate. But when we're talking about drugs, especially hard, addictive drugs, they can plot the whole damn thing. They can say, oh, this, you know, if these people are going down to here and that's where the drug dealers are, we know they're users. And so it's basically they've got these people trapped, and it's, you know, just like a cat and mouse game. We ought to get the police to actually go after real criminals.
Novel concept, Scott. Thank you. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norris. We're now going to play a bit of the fatal tape that I have been struggling for a week to get back on my, in my custody, so to speak. It was taken from me by Sergeant Butchie Baker a week ago, actually a week and a day ago, when I was arrested for blocking the flow of movement on the sidewalk near the New Leaf Market and the what's called Hippie Planter, what I call Hippie Planter. I was tabling there, as I said earlier, and Sergeant Baker informed me that he had been videoing me all afternoon and that I was blocking the sidewalk, and that he'd gotten confirmation from a city attorney that this was the case. His Lieutenant Sapone was also nearby and apparently had authorized this arrest. And it was an arrest, contrary to what the Good Times had to say in today's paper. If you want to read it, you can catch their slant on it. They seem to think it was a staged event. No, we weren't staging it. What we were trying to do was get people to boycott Sushi Now, Alibaba's Cafe, and New Leaf Market in order to persuade these merchants to enter into real negotiations with young people there, with the counterculture folks there, in order to find common consensual solutions where people, all of us, could use the space and respect each other in some basic way. Set up a series of behavioral guidelines, like the street performers' guidelines. We've talked about this on the show in the past. The response of Matisse Selman of Sushi Now was to file a complaint against me, and Butchie Baker, apparently his private security force, then moved in to have me arrested. Now, what he did there was he asked me to sign a citation. You're actually going to hear this tape, so let me, without too much further ado, go into that. There is a bit of discussion beforehand, some interviews that kind of set the stage. This isn't strictly real time. You get a few interviews an hour or two before this happened, but they're of interest. So let's hear a little bit of this. And meanwhile, let me introduce my other guest. It's the Cheshire Kid. Say hello.
Hey, how's it going, man?
And I know that you were doing some videoing back in January when Sean Duncan was hit by an automobile.
The George Bush inauguration.
Right down there at the town clock when another Butchie Baker production where Baker was in charge to some extent of that investigation. And instead of citing the motorist who hit Sean Duncan, Duncan is the person who got the ticket. Now you actually have some videotape of that, right?
Actually, yes. My best friend and I were actually walking around filming the whole protest, and he actually caught the whole thing on videotape. And like, we kind of didn't disclose this because we didn't really know what we had until the situation persists, and then we realized what we actually obtained from the situation, which is, you know, about to be unleashed. So
hopefully we can get a look at that tape. Let's listen to some
Definitely.
Audio tape now and see what we got here. Reporter, what's your name?
John Johnson.
John Johnson, and we have Sergeant Butchie Baker has just appeared on the corner. I may be getting a little paranoid, but Matisse Selman is on the phone, and I want to just note the time and what's going on for that purpose. About 1:10 thereabouts. Without any kind of real public hearing, and what we have is a situation where we're encouraging people to pledge not to spend money at these places unless they agree
to talk to the people here first and to have dialogue with the community about this issue before simply ramming it through city council. And what they've been doing is they've been broadcasting annoying music to drive away people. They've had Sergeant Baker and other police engaging in surveillance and harassment of people here, videoing them for hours on end, enforcing hacky sack tickets, enforcing sitting near a building tickets, sitting near a closed kiosk tickets. Hacky sack is a little kind
I
of
know
a
what hacky sack is. What's a ticket?
Well, you should ask Sergeant Baker because he can tell you. He's the sergeant who controls this area, and his officers have given those kinds of tickets. Right now, he's looking for a code section to cite me for tabling. He's going to try to find some way to get me to move because the police, you see, are acting on behalf of the businesses here. The police are trying to enforce the mistaken idea that if you get rid of all the diversity of Santa Cruz, it's going to help their business.
Right.
You know, if you turn it into Capitola and Carmel, it's going to help their business. This is something I don't think is going to work, and if it did work, I wouldn't want to live here. That's how I feel about it. So we're trying to get people to sign this pledge to not spend money at these two places. And also, we ask you to go into New Leaf Market and say to the management, please go public on keeping these public sidewalks. If you don't want to do that, then I don't want to spend money in your place. Let me ask you, for Free Radio Santa Cruz, Deanna? Is that, do I have your name right there?
I work down here all the time, and like, they don't harass people.
Are you a working person, or are you one of these bums who hang about?
I work.
What kind of work do you do?
I do kennel work.
Kennel work?
I clean up out the dogs.
Uh-huh. Well, dig it.
No, that's all right.
And so you haven't been harassed here as a woman as you walk by?
No.
You haven't been interfered with your passageway? No one has stolen your food or groped you?
No, none of that. They kind of go smile for a penny or stuff like that, but that's kind of normal down here.
Right.
It's kind of expected.
Anything you want to add for Free Radio?
No.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Here we see two CSOs harassing a man for sitting near a building. Notice this. This is your police dollars at work. These two police officers harassing an individual with a backpack for sitting near a building. Keep up the good work, folks. We appreciate it. And that, oh yeah, this is the same officer who harassed this woman for displaying jewelry, gave her three citations a week ago. Three citations. Officer, what's his name?
Pollock.
Officer Pollock. Ask Officer Pollock what he's doing on the mall. Pollock. Pollock. We have a critic. Go ahead.
I am ashamed of what you're doing. I was, you know, getting sushi over at Sushi Now one day for lunch, and some of the people that were standing around here were relentlessly hating this guy and harassing him, you know, and it's hard. It was not right, you know, and you were saying boycott sushi, but you don't know the whole story.
Well, tell me some of the story that I don't know.
Well, I have to go back to work.
Okay.
So I'll have to tell you
wait, please. Okay.
You don't know the whole story. You know,
okay.
How these guys stand around and harass this guy all day long, but yet you're not even, you know, knowing his side.
Well, actually, a lot of this comes from him. I've had a lot of conversations with him, so I have tried to put his point of view into it. And I think your concerns, insofar as anybody is harassing anyone, you are 100% right. But insofar as he has moved to privatize the whole area, I think it's wrong. He has to sign the contract with the city.
Yes, he does.
So he did. It's his choice. Yeah.
And if I had a decision to make between no harassment or privatizing the sidewalk, I think I'd have to go with no harassment.
But
it's supposed to be a hate-free zone.
I agree, but I think there are other choices than making a private sidewalk.
Look at the way you guys treat people, you know? I need to go.
Yeah. Thank you for stopping. Appreciate that.
That's Carrie Lee, who stays at the Mission.
It's a point of view anyway, so some poor people do favor privatizing the sidewalk, apparently. A couple of CSOs using the public spaces as they have an absolute right to do and should have. So it's about 1:25. Looks like Sushi Now has at least one paying customer, Sergeant Butchie Baker, and the two CSOs around the table. That seems to be the only paying customer. Another police officer is arriving on the scene. Two more police officers? Okay. So we have a large collection of police protection here for the riots that may happen at any moment. I'm not sure when they're going to happen, but it looks like a serious situation. Actually, it's one police officer and a sergeant and two CSOs. And we have a second police officer, Officer Leon, showing up.
I say we go. I'll make up some signs.
I say get some signs, boycott Sushi Now signs, because we need more police protection in this area.
Yeah, they need to fucking... They're trying to do something else, man.
the brass is showing up. That's Lieutenant Saponi showing up here downtown on the sidewalk. I don't know, man. We'll see. It's about... How you doing, Patty?
Good, Robert. How are you?
I'm all right.
First name basis.
Well, we're old pals.
There's the sixth one.
And that's the Lieutenant. She's actually Lieutenant. Yeah, Lieutenant Saponi. Hi. How you doing? All right. So now, why are you boycotting Sushi Now?
Because they're rude and they're expensive.
Well, they have police officers over there eating. They like their food.
Well, it must be nice to eat, huh? That fucking pigs, excuse my friend.
All right, now. The arrival of another police... It's Officer Seeley, the homeless resource officer, is arriving.
I'm not afraid.
All right, hang with me.
Take a picture of me and him so people know, seriously.
Hey.
Do it, dude. Take
Boy,
a picture.
Boycott Sushi Now. Actually, there's no... It's okay.
He doesn't do have a smash his camera right now. I'm just joking.
Boycott Sushi Now and check out our flyers here, folks.
Like, so we're bros. Look at the camera.
All right. Sushi Now, folks. They engage in anti-homeless behavior. That's what's going on here. Check it out.
Nostalgic for the old days.
Now, what's your beef about the classical music being used? Aren't you a classical musician?
Yeah, I play classical piano music, and... I've already talked to a couple of people in Newley here. I thought maybe they were behind it. I was misinformed.
So it's your taxpayer dollars at work, man.
Yeah, and I don't like seeing classical music being used as a weapon.
The speaker on the tape from a week ago last Wednesday is talking about the blasting of classical music out onto the sidewalk to get rid of the young folks
out
there.
We're talking with Raul Lopez. And Raul, what... You're a homeless person up on campus?
Close by campus, yes.
And how long have you been homeless up there?
Well, for about 3 months now.
And how long have you been a student?
I'm not a student.
Oh, you're not a student. So you are squatting on the use... Officer... No, just kidding. So what is it like to be homeless up there?
It's not something that I like, but I know it's a temporary situation. I mean, I just got here to Santa Cruz a little while back. As long as I get a job and save some money, I know that this is just a temporary situation. But what it sucks is that people tend to believe that, yes, because I'm homeless now, I'm going to be homeless for the rest of my life, or that I'm not capable of doing something good for myself or people around me, you know?
And well, you don't look homeless. You know, you look like you're pretty well dressed.
I'm looking for work right now.
What kind of work do you do?
I used to work in an office in Mexico, in Vancouver, a bank. Uh-huh. So something clerical, probably. Even though right now I'll take anything.
And you're interested also in discrimination issues, obviously, because you may have suffered that yourself? Or?
Yes, I have had a couple of discrimination from the government. But right now, I'm suing the United States government right now.
For?
I'm an American citizen, and I was deported twice.
When did this happen?
I just came back in the country in last January.
And what area were you deported from?
San Diego.
And have you ever had any problems with police here?
No, not here in Santa Cruz. I mean, with police, it's been pretty good.
Well, hear that, SCPD. See, there's a... not. Don't let it be said that everything that's said on this station is against you. Anything you want to ask?
Oh, no, that'll be it.
Thank you. Say that again. The man has just told me he loves my creativity, my sense of humor, but what about my sexual... Well, we won't get into
that. I don't know about.
All right.
I don't want to know about it, but necessarily.
So you used... How long have you heard about... How did you first hear about this issue?
I read the paper.
You noticed it in the Sentinel.
Sentinel, yeah. I'm new in town. I'm a new guy in town. New kid on the block.
New kid on the block. Probably look like you're about my age. You know, you've been around the block, a couple of blocks somewhere.
You're better looking, but that's okay.
I don't know about that.
You have more hair.
I got more hair. That does not mean I'm better. No, yours is very distinguished and well-groomed, I might add. Any comments on this situation? I mean, are you from a town where this kind of thing has happened before, or how long have you been in town?
Well, from a state that's very hard on the poor, the homeless. That's Arizona, very tough place. And I would expect more from Santa Cruz.
That's pretty much how I feel. You want to give your name?
For what purpose?
This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz. It gets broadcast sort of on a segment that talks about public interest affairs.
Sure. It's Daniel Schwartz.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'm a retired professor of anthropology and sociology from Arizona.
Well, you should have some nice pickings here, man. We got anthropological weirdness going on.
Well, I love it. What makes Santa Cruz interesting?
Well, they're going to try to tame it down by putting in a little business where I'm sitting, so.
Yeah, the streets and sidewalks should belong to the people anyway. They're part of the public commons.
Here, here. You sound like a leveler from the 17th century. Just what kind of...
The 60s. 1960s.
Ah! Whoa, one of those. Watch out.
1860s, I feel sometimes, but...
Thank you. You were involved with the Catholic worker movement in Tucson?
Supporting it. Supporter.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have that here in... I think we used to have a Catholic workers-supported cafe in Berkeley about 11 years ago called the People's Cafe, but the police closed it down. It was in the middle of People's Park. I mean, they didn't like that idea. Interesting.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobe's Pierre Robert. We're going into the last 20 minutes of the show. A little bit of music, and then we're going to actually play the incriminating tape where yours truly gets hauled off to the Juzgado.
Downtown when you're brown, the muffled sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out impalas and cherried out mini trucks. As the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut by on 16 in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes hanging from the rearview mirror. Downtown when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no.
So they told you that you'd have to roll up your stuff or they would deal with you?
Yes.
And where were you sitting?
Front of Borders.
And did they do this to anyone else?
No, they didn't.
Your name is?
Daniel.
And Daniel, how long have you been doing this spiritual tarot activity?
Close to a year now here.
And has this ever happened to you before?
No.
Did they say there'd been a complaint?
Yes.
And who did they say had complained?
Oh, no, they didn't say that anybody had complained, no. No, they didn't. I'm
Did
sorry.
Did they interrupt you in the midst of what you were doing, or were you just sitting there?
Yes, I was just about getting ready to give someone a reading, and they interrupted it, told me I had to stop.
Interesting.
And right before we get to the arrest, we have a caller. Caller, you're interrupting an arrest.
Sorry about interrupting the arrest. I'm in the middle of a meeting. I wanted to call you before your show is over.
Go ahead.
Been listening to your show between meetings and driving around, heading up to the meeting, and I've been appreciating the show. Wanted just to make a couple announcements. Wanted to unite with you and Steve Weiss about the March 15th action against the sleeping ban. Really wanted to encourage people to come out. Wanted to let people know that Tuesday night there will be a Maloney benefit dealing with one of the elders, Patrick Orozco, who is one of the very very powerful local Ohlone elders, will be presenting that night on the traditions and the culture and the heritage and the history. So that's going to be at the Vets Hall this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. upstairs, room 22. Also wanted to mention that Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Saturday, February 23rd, at 11:30 a.m. At the town clock downtown Santa Cruz, there will be a march and a rally to free all political prisoners, highlighting Mumia Abu-Jamal and Leonard Peltier cases. Russ Redner from the American Indian Movement, Matthew Willis from the Hulu Movement, Carlos Padilla, Adia Hines from the Students for Justice, Evelyn Schoenfeld, myself from the Santa Cruz Coalition to Free All Political Prisoners, former Black Panther Mel Mason will all be in town that day. And the last thing is to come out to the next Tough meeting at Baker Square on Wednesday at 8:30 on Ocean Street to talk about the ongoing campaigns to abolish the sleeping ban and restore civil rights for the health system.
Don't forget, that's in the morning. All you.
8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thank you for letting me make those.
Sure. Calls. And if, in case people didn't catch that, is there a number they can call to get this information?
They can call 429-8012 and speak with Greg, Andrew, or James.
Greg, Andrew, or James at 429-8012.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Alrighty.
They're frustrated at what's going on here because they can't get rid of the scene, so they're going after innocent victims like yourself.
Yes, everybody. That's what it looks like.
And does that make you angry that activists here are continuing to table? What do you think?
No, I think that's great.
You support this?
Totally.
Anything you want to add?
Just that people should really get involved with what's going on in their own city and understand what the laws are and how they're trying to keep any kind of scene happening down here that attracts all the tourists in here. People don't come down here for Borders or for Starbucks. They come down here to see the life.
Hey, thank you, Daniel.
Okay, thank you.
Shannon Casamo, you are a patron of New Leaf Market.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have a New Leaf bag on you?
No. One on 41st Avenue.
Oh, that's true.
That's where I live.
Right.
There's a good place to park.
No, officer. What's the story?
Let me turn mine on so you can turn yours on. I need to see
Sergeant
your identification.
Baker is speaking now.
What's the problem?
I'm issuing a citation for blocking the sidewalk. So just a little bit ago, you had people having to walk around you because of the table you're keeping. Okay? Do you have your identification, Mr.?
Oh, okay. So did you ask the people to move the table, Sergeant Baker?
It's not my responsibility to ask
him. Intentionally blocking the sidewalk is the code section. You know that. You have to give us an opportunity to move.
Mr. Norris?
Are you giving us an opportunity to move the table?
May I see your identification?
I take it you're not. Sure, of course
okay.
You can. So we have some witnesses to the latest citation.
Yes, we do.
Cited for a political table downtown, folks. Your police dollars at work. I'm getting a ticket, man.
You remember last time that...
blocking the sidewalk.
Sir Norris, last time I had contact with you under a citation situation and you were more worried about the people around you, if I have to, we can transport you out of here. So
I have my ID, Sergeant Baker.
The military presence here is, you know.
Excuse me. Thank you.
So, is it a legal process?
No.
Do we want to cite here or do we want to go to the station?
I'm ready to be cited. If you choose to arrest me, Howard, there's nothing I can do, Sergeant Baker. You have the gun and the badge.
Are you guys having trouble walking by at all?
I wasn't having any trouble walking by at all.
Your name is?
Andrew Johnson.
Your name is?
Adia Hines.
And, all right. And were you a witness to the... Have you been walking... Actually, I'm giving it, being given a ticket, but I wasn't even here when this happened, right?
Right. I was actually sitting...
It's all being videotaped. You were here.
Oh, okay.
So, I wasn't... Once again, how he's blocking the sidewalk. Go ahead, explain to us. Go ahead.
It's a situation where I'm trying to direct my attention on this, okay? If you want, we can...
The officer wishes to write his ticket. Let him write his ticket. Well, let's let the public know what's going on. That's all. So you write your ticket.
Do you have identification, ma'am?
No, this isn't a rabbit.
Okay, can I see it, please? Because
Baker is
you also were involved at the table.
Do we have anyone who wants to volunteer to sit at this table, by the way, and get a ticket for blocking the sidewalk?
The sidewalk now was, Mr. Norris.
It hasn't been moved.
Mr. Norris.
The table has been in the same position.
Transport away from the scene. We can do that because...
Ticket for blocking the sidewalk.
Hey, everybody!
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to take a ticket. Let's go for it.
Well, we keep getting our attention directed away from...
My attention.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah?
Could you get her identification for me, please? Thank you.
So Officer Kiefert is getting identification from Zoe.
All right. How can you get by, man? I thought we were blocking the sidewalk. How can you possibly get by? I hope you do that.
Ticket for blocking the sidewalk, folks.
He has to explain to you how you blocked the sidewalk.
No, and this table...
Mr. North.
Our current address is right there.
Okay.
It's on the driver's license. This table is in exactly the same location it was before, and he refused to give a ticket for it now. Now he says it's not blocking the sidewalk before it was. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Has the table moved, Sergeant Baker?
You're going to get fired, dude.
let the sergeant write the ticket.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting paid to do.
By the people.
Huh?
Ticket for political tabling downtown. Your taxpayer dollars at work.
Okay, Mr. Norris. We've established that we're not going to do it this way. Could you please put the tape recorder down?
I'm going to handcuff you.
Thank you.
I'm being arrested, folks.
For what?
Petitioning downtown.
Sir, you took all my smoke.
Well, Mr. Norris,
I'm
Mr. Norris,
in my wallet, in my
I know, but don't go into your pocket like that. Let me make sure that
you're arrested.
I know, this is such a
word. There you go, Mr.
Arrested for petition.
For everybody safe.
He's not like you. He wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Safety.
Zoe,
safe.
Oh,
keep an eye on the table.
Yes.
How can you guys do that?
Robert Norris has just been arrested.
I'm watching his table.
I'm not gonna like drag you off.
Don't run up, Frank! Fuck! Hey!
Being my ID for something that I wasn't doing anything.
Well, but see, the thing though is,
and if I'm not being arrested, then I am free to leave.
Well, no, you're not.
I'm not.
You're being detained. All right. And in a way, it is an arrest because it's an infraction ticket and so on and so forth. Did you read her rights yet?
I'm watching the table. Like, I was watching the table too. Like, should we all sit down and watch the table?
Yeah, I think we're all going to stand here and guard the table.
Then you can get, like, all of our IDs and take us all to the hall, because I feel that this is really...
I think they have a problem with activists in the community, but I'm not sure.
I don't have... Like, I'm just traveling.
Let me explain to you. Okay, if you...
And there's more on the tape, but you'll wonder why it was taken by Sergeant Baker and held for a week and a day and finally released after being copied by the Santa Cruz Police Department. The claim is that it's being used in the case of the other person who was arrested with me, Zoe Einbinder. I'm not sure if I have that last name right. It's nonsense, of course, because the entire process of arresting someone for sitting at a table engaging in political petitioning, not blocking the sidewalk, is a clear attack on the First Amendment. And even if there were a claim that I was violating that code section, there is an exception to, you know, unless there's an obvious intentional blockage of the sidewalk, there's an exception for even to the downtown ordinances for political tabling. You're allowed to table. And you don't have to... there's a very interesting... Well... What I'm saying here is that the ticket was initiated by Matisse Selman, who is the owner of Sushi Now, but very eagerly pursued by Sergeant Butchie Baker. And the last time this happened to me was at Farmer's Market, where I was also arrested for doing some political activity, in this case walking around in the Farmer's Market circulating a petition which denounced the closing of the Farmer's Market fringes to folks who were musicians, folks who were trying to display their jewelry, folks who were engaging in political tabling, because there was some rather sort of a nasty edge to the farmers market in those days, under some pressure from the downtown merchants, the police, and the Parks and Rec Department, apparently, to clean up, quote-unquote, the hippie scene, just as we see here in front of New Leaf Market, the attempt to, quote, clean up the downtown. And that kind of cleaning, I don't think is a cleaning we want to see downtown. I think that's the kind of cleaning that they happened in Germany when they cleaned up the gypsies and they cleaned up the hobos and they cleaned up the mentally ill. Now, I'm not saying they're going to take us out and shoot us. I'm not saying they're going to gas us. What I'm saying, though, is this kind of discriminatory second-class citizenship, which involves excluding people from public areas, gentrifying the areas, turning them over to richer folks, is just plain wrong. It's wrong from a number of points of view. It's wrong because it violates basic human rights. It's wrong because it really acts in contradiction to what really draws people to the downtown. This was what was kind of pointed out by one of the folks. In the studio with us, we have the endlessly patient Cheshire Kid. Now, Cheshire, we'll give you a chance to say a thing or two. We're almost at the end of our time. You got any thoughts on any of this? You want to talk into that mic?
Well... I've been hanging out in Santa Cruz for off and on for about 9 years, and I've dealt with the infamous Mr. Baker time and time again. And pretty much, you know, he's not a very nice man, and I've seen him be really unfair. When I first came here, I was about 15 years old, and I used to make palm roses for donations. I would make palm roses, and, like, I remember a few countless times for handing out flowers we were cited for loitering down by the bus stop. That was before Hippie Corner was Hippie Corner. But since then, yes, there's been countless arrests that, you know, for nothing, pretty much. You know, sitting there, someone didn't have ID, sit in jail for 3-4 days just because they don't have an identification, then they find out who they are and they let them out. Oh, sorry, but hey.
Well, I know that 2 days ago, Elijah was arrested for, again, blocking the sidewalk. The interesting thing about this arrest, according to reports by two witnesses, and I wasn't there when he was arrested, he was actually, yes, he was arrested. He was taken to handcuffs, taken to jail, held for 7 hours for public intoxication. Witnesses testified he was not intoxicated, and he wasn't arrested for being intoxicated. He was arrested for blocking the sidewalk. They went over to the other side of the street to get him and pull him back and say, you were blocking the sidewalk, we're going to arrest you. It seemed to me like a particularly gratuitous kind of meanness. And that's the kind of meanness, I think, that the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty was talking about in its recent report, Illegal to Be Homeless, where they cite Santa Cruz as one of the two meanest cities in the state and one of the seven meanest cities of the 80 cities they've surveyed in the country. This is all kind of the sad side of it all. I have a couple of positive things to say. I got this email from Isla Vista. Hello, Paul. It's actually an email to Paul Brindell that was forwarded to me. I just finished reading a bit about CAB, and I'm interested in the work that your organization or yourself have done in establishing a campground in Santa Cruz. I've read about the video encampment that your group sells, mostly interested in where that campaign ended up and where it's at now. The reason I ask is because about 10 to 15 homeless folks, myself included, have set up and maintained a campground in Isla Vista, California, which is neighboring UC Santa Barbara, for a week now. We are demanding a safe sleeping space, that is, a campground, because of the same reasons. I'm sure you all were pushing for a similar thing in Santa Cruz. Anyway, the camp has been self-contained, responsibility for cleanup and cooking spread out for the most part, and people's spirits are at a high. However, this initial energy seems to be fading a little bit. Also, the Sheriff's Department and the local Parks and Rec office have no idea how to deal with this. Only one person was given a ticket, more of a tester, to see how we'd react, and we held strong. We're starting to mobilize community support because the initial media blitz about the encampment is coming to an end, but we did succeed in getting mostly positive coverage. We'll be circulating petitions and going to the park, board, and county with our demands. I would first ask for advice or reflection on how the encampment or push for a safe campground has progressed or digressed. Also, I understand your group has a video. I'd love a copy of this as an organizing tool, limited funding. Signed, Chris Osmer. I'm going to be kind of finishing this up, Cheshire Kid. You want to just sort of say your goodbyes?
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Just quickly say goodbye.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, what up, kids? Welcome to the show. I'm the Cheshire Kid, like you don't know. But, hey, all you kids in Boulder Creek, all you kids out on the cruise, what up, Ma?
Thank
hey, 805, you guys out in Isla Vista. I'm an 805 resident myself. I know all about you kids. Stay up, dude.
Hey. Thanks, you. All right.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Robert Norris. Hi, Pat here.
Hey, Pat. You got about 2 minutes.
Well, I can probably less than that.
Good.
I appreciate you urging homeless people not to trash the woods.
Thank you.
I hope you'll do that again this time around because on my recent return to the woods, I found brand new homeless sites trashed out, and it's just... It's so, you know, it really doesn't reflect well on homeless people that that happens. I would say, of all the things that I can think of, that has to be the most negative thing, the most indefensible thing of all that homeless people could take responsibility for. So please keep that message out there for your own interest as well as the forests.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
And that was Pat Kittle reminding us, clean camping, camp lightly on the land, respect others. And you'll go further. I can't agree with him more. I think it's true. Lots of stuff we didn't get to. I want to point out that tomorrow, KSCO will do a very brief interview with me. That's 10:80 a.m. If you're up at 6:10 in the morning, you get to hear me being trashed on KSCO. So tune in if you're interested. Then you really want to get a double dose or a triple dose. On Saturday morning from 10 to 12, KSCO is going to be broadcasting its Trashing of the Homeless, starring our favorite anti-homeless progressive Mike Rotkin, who will be talking about how he supports all the wonderful social services but forget about civil rights for homeless people in Santa Cruz. There's also going to be a SCAR demonstration on Saturday. That's a protest of the movie Black Hawk Down. Folks will meet, as I understand it, at 4:30 p.m. in front of the Cinema 9, and then there's going to be a protest at the 5:45 showing. Black Hawk Down, of course, is a piece of jingoistic pro-military propaganda that is making the rounds, supporting the government bomb now, bomb later, and keep bombing no matter what position. I encourage people to look into it. I don't have a lot of information on SCAR. I just got a quick message after the last call. Glenn Rabinold, the individual who called in, who from the psych ward at the last show, has been released. Thanks to advocacy, thanks to his own efforts, He was able, right before his writ of habeas corpus hearing, they decided because the court calendar was choked up, yes, it does pay to choke up the court calendar, they let him go. He's off the psych ward. He's back on the street, as far as I know. Finally, the assault case against me and a man named Jeff by an individual known as Jackal, who smashed my table in half and then threatened us with death threats and slugged a man who stepped into the middle of the confrontation. This guy was obviously not working on all four cylinders. He was released without apparently any charges because the case has been closed. I have not been allowed to get a victim's report yet, even though I am a victim of this crime. And it seems peculiar to me that I'm still being charged with the crime of obstructing the sidewalk while a man engaging in violent behavior against people engaging in legitimate political activity is back on the streets and has apparently no charges pending against him. Case closed. That's Justice Santa Cruz style, apparently. I could be wrong if I am in error in any of these characterizations. I'll try to correct them in future broadcasts. Tomorrow morning, weather permitting, there will be a coffee clatch at the Homeless Services Center. Becky Johnson is going to be going out there finding how many people are freezing, how many people are getting tickets, how many people are getting hassled, how many people are wanting to get together for a tent city on March 15th. And if you're interested in joining with her in this effort, give her a call at 429-8529, 429-8529. Or if you've forgotten any of these numbers or you want to be reminded of any of this stuff, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I am at the end of my show. Uncle Dennis is coming right into the studio. He's going to be here. In fact, he is here. He is the cream. I am the dregs. We're going from the dregs to the cream. But actually, his show is from the cream to the dregs. You're going to enjoy that. I do. It's a mellow scene with Uncle Dennis. He'll be coming up in about a minute now. And I want to thank you for hanging in there with us, with the Cheshire Kid, with Scott Graham, with Charlie Stevens, public defender. And we'll be getting further updates from Camp Paradise, which had a meeting of the Santa Cruz Service Corps last night. They didn't call in tonight, but they're always welcome to call in, as you are as well. As of now, there is nothing on the City Council agenda about Camp Paradise, about any of the legal changes. The City Council has duck and covered again. And people are cold out there, and people are homeless, and people are illegal. We have to get together. We have to do something. Think about a tent city on March 15th. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back on Sunday, 10 o'clock, with another edition in the morning of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
This is 96.3 FM, Freak Radio, Santa Cruz. And coming up in just a second here, after I fire up the machine here, I gotta turn the crank on the side, get it moving, crank the Winamp machine up. Got a...
Hang on, a record?
Yeah, but we're dead air, right?
We're dead air, man.
Not the first time, and
certainly not the last.
Yeah, right. It's Free Radio Santa Cruz, where we can freely have dead air without anybody bothering us quite a bit. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I'm here.
Uncle Robert.
He's Uncle Robert. We're all going to be here for a while, playing a little music. This is From the Cream to the Dreg, rare music and little played tunes from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We're going to start with Led Zeppelin.
Day. I only find it slips away to gray. The hours they bring me.